As you know, Adam is out of town today, and so I'll be speaking this morning, and David will be speaking this evening. I want to thank everyone for coming, and I want to begin after Jesus' resurrection. He charged his apostles to preach the gospel to the entire world. He had taught them for 3 years, prepared them for this work. He gave them the limited commission. He did all these things to get them ready to do this. And he told them to preach the gospel. And I think of that usually, we call that the Great Commission. And I usually think of that in terms of the record in Mark, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believes not shall be condemned. And I think about, what does that mean then, to preach the gospel? And if we look at the other records of the Great Commission, we get a better idea of what it meant when he said to go preach the gospel. As I said, as I quoted Mark, what he told in Mark, if we go to Luke 24, we have the record of what Luke says Jesus told his apostles in that commission. He says, this is Luke 24, verses 46 to 49. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so he talks about what was written and what was, and about preaching repentance and remission of sins. And if we go to Matthew, the end of Matthew, we have the charge that Jesus gave them, starting in Matthew 28:18. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And if we put these together, you can see what the charge was, and you get a more full, complete sense of God's charge to them in the Great Commission. And the first thing he told them to do was to go. You know, and Mark says, go into all the world. And Jesus, Matthew quotes Jesus as saying, make disciples of all nations. And Luke said the repentance and remission of sins would be preached to all the nations. So they were to go everywhere. And you've got 11 Jewish men after Judas had betrayed him. And those others who were probably there, Matthias, I'm pretty sure, was there, and some of the others. They hadn't been more than probably 100 miles from their home in their entire lives. That they've been in Judea or Samaria or Galilee, and if you read the gospel, you'll see that they traveled with Jesus to some other areas close by, but they hadn't been very far. He told them to go everywhere. And that's quite a challenge, to go into all the world. They would know of the Roman world, and they would know of where Jews were who had come back to, if you read in the Day of Pentecost, where all the Jews came from 17 different nations. So they were aware of these places, but they'd never been there. And he challenged them to go there. And initially, they didn't go. If you think about it, if you read the beginning of Acts, now Jesus told them in Acts 1 that they would be my witnesses here in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the earth in Acts 1, verse 8. But they stayed pretty much in Jerusalem for several years. It wasn't until the persecution came in chapter 8 after Stephen was stoned, and the persecution came. It says the persecution began, a great persecution, in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. And it says the disciples went everywhere. In verse 8, 4, it says they went everywhere preaching the gospel. But in verse 1, it says that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, that they still really didn't go even at that point. And it took another to Acts 10, when they started, Peter started going throughout Judea. Then we have the miracles before, where God showed him the vision and then sent him to Cornelius' house, that the apostles understood that all nations really meant all nations, that they weren't just to go to the Jews, to those Jews, even those Jews who were dispersed among the nations, but that they were to go to all the nations. But the God's command for them was to go. And finally they did. And we know that the apostles did travel, and ultimately almost all of them were executed for their faith, and except for John. And he was exiled. And then they were told him to preach the gospel. And what we see that from the other, that's what Mark says, preach the gospel. And that's the good news about Jesus. And from Luke and from Matthew, we can see what they needed to teach. He told them it was necessary to teach them. Luke says it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to die and to be raised on the third day. And that salvation would be in Christ, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all the nations. And that Jesus, and from Matthew, he teaches us that Jesus received all authority. He told them that all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That Christ was Lord, that he was king of all, and that they should become his disciple. He said to make disciples, to make followers. A disciple is somebody who emulates, who tries to be like the master, who tries to change themselves to be like the master. And so that's what they were trying to do. That's what preach the gospel means, to teach people to become disciples. And they also, in preaching the gospel, is to call for a response, to convince people to become disciples, to repent. And that's why he told them in Matthew and Mark to baptize them into Christ, that they would make a decision and become a disciple. And then to teach them to observe all things. In Matthew, he told them to teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And that finally, so they finally said that they wouldn't be alone. Jesus said in Matthew, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. And Luke said that the promise would come. And we know from John 14 that the promise was the Holy Spirit would come. And so when it says that to go and preach the gospel, the Great Commission, it was all those things. And it came upon them to do that. And if we look in Acts 2, we'll see really all of that happening in the first sermon, the first day that the gospel was preached. If we go to Acts 2, if I can get there. At the very beginning of the chapter, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were with one accord in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then it appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit came upon them. The promise that Luke said would happen, the promise would come, that they would receive, they received that Holy Spirit into them. And then they started to teach, and they taught what Jesus said would be in the Great Commission. If you think about, if you go through the sermon, starting at verse 22, Peter said, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God through him in your midst, did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And in that passage, he tells them what Luke said, what Jesus said they would tell them in Luke, that it was necessary for Christ to come, to die on the cross and to be raised from the dead. It was necessary for him to come, and that they did that by the determined purpose of God, and that he raised him from the dead, and that he goes down in verse 32, he tells them that this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses, that he stated that they were witnesses. And they gave that testimony over and over, that they saw and heard Jesus for 3 years, and they were witnesses of him to the world. And then he let them know that Jesus was Lord in verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So just as Jesus said, all authority is given to me, that he had proclaimed the fact that he was Lord and Christ. And then he called for them to come in. He called for them to repent and to become Christians. And they asked, what shall we do? In verse 37. And in verse 38, Peter said, repent therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So he called on them, and he called for them to make a decision, to choose to follow Christ. And 3,000 of them did. So they gave the whole gospel as Jesus described in the Great Commission on the first day, on the day of Pentecost. And it says that those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. And what's significant with that, Jesus told in Matthew that they should teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And so they did. They remained steadfastly in his doctrine and in his fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. So they taught them. And so we see the apostles started the Great Commission. They followed what Jesus' charge was for them. And they preached the gospel, and ultimately they spread it to the world. And so the question then becomes, what does this mean to us? What is this charge to us as Christians? Because Jesus said it to the apostles and they spread the word, but now we have the opportunity to tell people about Christ. We have the charge to preach the gospel. We're not apostles and we don't have the authority that they have, but we have the charge. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means that we need to go. We need to go. That doesn't mean we need to go to, 1,000 miles away or to a different country, but it does mean we need to go and see the world as people who need Christ, that everyone around us needs Christ, and to recognize that fact, and to see that the hope of the gospel is for everybody and that everybody needs it. So we need to be willing to go and to share the gospel with other people, to tell people about Jesus. And that's hard to do. It's hard to talk to people about religion. We're not supposed to talk to people about religion. It's one of those things you're not supposed to do, but we need to do that. And how do we do that? Well, one thing, it seems to me we need to develop an enthusiasm to talk about God. I mean, I like to talk about baseball and the Cardinals, if many of you know, and try to stay away from me or make fun of me on occasion. But I have enthusiasm for that. Other people have enthusiasm for other topics that they like to talk about. We need to develop an enthusiasm to talk about Jesus and to tell people about it. If we go to work or go wherever we are and somebody asks us what we did on the weekend, we can talk about going to church. We can have enthusiasm about our faith and share it with people. And we also, if we will do that, we'll get a response. Most people won't be interested, to tell you the truth, but some people will be. And so in addition to developing enthusiasm about sharing the gospel, it seems to me we have to develop a good attitude about rejection. Because we're going to get rejected. And we need to learn to accept that. That there's some people who are going to reject us, and that's okay. Because we're not responsible for them, their decision to reject us. We just need to share the gospel. But if we share the truth, and some people will be interested. And then that gets even scarier, because what do we do if somebody is interested? Do we pursue the conversation or do we back off? But we need to have that enthusiasm, be willing to pursue the conversation. If somebody wants to talk about it, to talk about our faith with them. And to share it. And to call for a response. Now, that doesn't mean the first time you talk to somebody, you ask them if they want to be baptized. But it might. But it may mean, you know, somebody's interested, you say, well, you want to have a Bible study? Or would you like to come to church? We have a Bible study. You take the next step. And again, some people will say no, and that's fine, but some people will say yes. But we have that opportunity, and Christ tells us to go. And we need to learn to do that. And I have a hard time doing that. But I need to learn to do that. And those are the ways to do it, because it's not bad news, it's good news that we're sharing with people. And we need to look at that and see what the gospel call is, because the gospel call is a call of hope and faith. And so we need to do that, and we need to have a good reaction. And so we need to learn to accept rejection. But we also need to learn to move on. If people aren't interested, that's fine. We don't have to talk to them again, but we can share it with somebody else. To learn to move on, to go to others, because when Paul preached the gospel and the Jews rejected him, he said, fine, and I'll go talk to the, in Corinth, he said, I'll go talk to the people who do want to hear. So we share with those who are going to be willing to hear. And lead to a response till somebody actually has to make a decision. When somebody ultimately is interested, we need to lead people to a response, to a point where they have to make a decision. And again, many people will say no, and that's all right, but some will say yes, and the gospel will be spread. And then we also, once we get somebody who becomes a Christian, we have to remember what Jesus told the apostles in Matthew. It's to make disciples, that is to make followers, and to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That we have to not just, somebody gets baptized and we say, see you next Sunday. We need to develop and to teach people. We need to teach new Christians what it means to be a Christian, and we need to make them part of our group. We need to make them part of our fellowship and to get them to participate and to be part of us. And when we do that, we will have more people stay with us and more people become Christians, and we will see growth. And finally, we need to remember that Jesus is in control and not to worry about what's going to happen, because Jesus is in control. Remember, he said, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That he is with us, and so we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. We need to trust in him. And so that commission is to us too, and I just want to encourage us all to develop that attitude of enthusiasm, of wanting to share the gospel, and wanting to remember that the purpose is to share the good news, that salvation is available to all and that hope is available to all. And that good news is here today, and it is available. And if there's anyone here who wants to become a Christian, You can do that now. You can come forward and you can confess Christ and be baptized into him. And if anyone wants prayers or needs help for the congregation and would like to ask for prayers, we invite you to come forward now, and you can do that as we stand and sing the song that's been announced.